Welcome to the Raucous Caucus. This is Mark Levine. On the line I have with me...
Terry D. Kester.
There is an election coming up in Virginia in just 2 days. We Act Radio is often heard in Virginia, and so I wanted to make sure that all of you do hear my voice, because in 2 days you have a very important decision to make. Terry, I know you wanted to come on the Virginia election. You go ahead first, and then I'll come in after.
Okie dokie. Well, I think many Americans are concerned about the drone policy. And I have also learned, at least according to reports by Amnesty International, which I encourage everybody to take a look at, and to Amy Goodman's recent column that has been in many newspapers in the city, I mean not in the city but around the country, and also has been on her show, Democracy Now!, I'm pointing out that not only are we using the drones to supposedly wipe out these enemies, we also are doing second strikes on these attacks, so that recently there were 18 laborers who were killed in a drone strike. The rescuers go in afterwards to help people, to save people who are still there, and then they're hit by a second drone. That's strictly against international law.
Certainly people, rescue workers, should not be hit by our drones.
Yeah.
I mean, even if we've taken out some terrorists, and we'll want to talk about the details of that, and also whether drones actually are more nefarious than bombing someone by flying over them. So we also hope and expect Garland Nixon to join us when he, you know, finishes taking his own sweet time and decides to join us here on the Raucous Caucus.
Well,
expect him to call in.
Awake. He probably didn't reset his clocks, you know, and he's probably...
You know, that may be the case, except that it's really not an excuse, because it would actually be 1 o'clock, so if anything, he'd be an hour early. So that can't be the reason.
Oh, damn it. If you're going to introduce logic, we're going to have problems.
Well, that's true. I believe I am loud and clear now in your ears.
Yes, you are.
Okay, that's good. I want to start with the Virginia election, because it's in just 2 days. And We Act Radio AM 1480 is heard in a decent swath of Northern Virginia. Northern Virginia, of course, is 1/3 of the population of the state of Virginia, and it's an extremely important election. Terry McAuliffe is running for governor, he's running against Ken Cuccinelli, who is...
Cuccinelli.
Well, some call him Cuccinelli, because he is the representative of the far right in Virginia. Not just the Tea Party right, I'll have you know, but what people call, when they're trying to be nice, social conservatives. This is a guy who wants to restrict birth control, who wants strict laws on abortion. This is a guy who insisted that the Virginia state universities discriminate against gay people. They weren't discriminating, and he said, that's wrong. You have to be able to discriminate. All they want to do is have a non-discrimination policy, and he said, you can't do that. You can't do that. Non-discrimination, he argued as Attorney General of Virginia, was against the law.
He also, don't forget, he also went after academic freedom and has continually done that, particularly in terms of global warming, but sued and, you know, tried to sue the University of Virginia to get University of Virginia to turn over every single email that the scientists had done, everything that was private, literally destroying academic freedom.
Good point. The other thing is that he wants to bring back sodomy laws. That's right. Virginia laws that make it illegal to have oral sex between married couples.
Yeah,
he wants to bring back that felony. I'm not sure how Ken Cuccinelli, as governor, plans to peek inside your bedrooms to see what kind of sex a husband and wife are having, but that is at least his goal. The Supreme Court said he couldn't do that, but that was an attempt. One thing I want to make clear, though, and by the way, his Democratic opponent is Terry McAuliffe, a good friend of the Clintons, to be sure, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, and for all the, you know, he's kind of a big personality, and he's not a perfect man, but compared to the craziness that is Ken Cuccinelli, I think it presents an easy choice for governor, and I do expect Terry McAuliffe to win, but only if you don't take this election for granted and you turn out to vote. It is important that you remember that elections in Virginia occur every year, not just in presidential years, and a lot of times Republicans win in Virginia precisely because the coalition that, for example, voted for Obama in Virginia, throughout the state, a lot of times stays home. Minorities and young people and the elderly and all the parts of the Democratic coalition, many, many stay home. So please don't stay home. Please get out and vote. And I want to make an appeal in the other two elected offices as well. It's very, very important to vote for Ralph Northam for Lieutenant Governor and Mark Herring for Attorney General.
Amen. And remember that Cuccinelli started out as Attorney General, and that's how he made his name amongst the extremists.
That's exactly right. And that's why the Attorney General race is so important. Ralph Northam is a doctor in Virginia. He's also a medical doctor. He's also a state senator. Very, very well-respected man. The guy he's running against, Mark Obenshain, is most well-known for really wanting to control women's reproductive rights. And when I say control, I don't just mean in the standard ways. We're kind of used now to politicians trying to ban abortion or ban birth control, and he certainly wants to do that. But, and even in cases of rape and incest, but he wants to go further. He actually wants, listen to this, he actually put forward legislation that didn't pass, but he sponsored legislation in Virginia that would require all women to report miscarriages to the police within 48 hours after the miscarriage or suffer criminal penalties. Suffer, in other words, you've just had a miscarriage, which of course is a very traumatic experience for many women to lose a fetus, to lose a potential child. And he's, I guess, afraid that you had an abortion in your own home. I don't know. Again, these ideas are very intrusive. But the guy who wants to run for Attorney General and who is running neck and neck, I should say, the Attorney General race is the closest
is that
race.
Close still?
The Attorney General's race is the closest of the three races.
Oh, my heavens.
It's running neck and neck within the margin of error with Mark Herring, the Democratic state senator who's running for Attorney General. But Mark Obenshain, like I said, actually wants to require women to report their miscarriages. This is amazing. They don't want you to report guns. They don't want you to know you have a right if you're crazy, if you're mentally ill, if you are if you're a felon, if you're a terrorist. They want you to get those AK-47s. Mark Obenshain does, and Ken Cuccinelli does. But if so, you can be trusted even if you're insane, an insane terrorist. You're trusted with an AK-47, but women are not entrusted, apparently,
with their own bodies.
And
you know, maybe the problem, this would be a little frivolous, I know this is a serious thing, but maybe the problem is there's just too damn many people named Mark in Virginia. You know, it's getting very confusing.
Well, that includes me, and if you want to vote for me, you know, when I run, then you can do that later. But no, we got to vote for Mark Herring, H-E-R-R-I-N-G, Mark Obenshain, like I said. I mean, these are really radical ideas. I think they're even radical in Mississippi. They're certainly too radical for the purple state that Virginia has become. And the last race is Lieutenant governor's race. This one I think will win because, Ralph Northam is a very well-respected medical doctor and state senator, but his opponent, Reverend E.W. Jackson, is probably actually the most extreme of the three, and that says a lot to be more extreme than Cuccinelli and Obenshain. He's someone who has compared abortion to slavery. He's compared Planned Parenthood to slavery. This is a guy who has said that gay people are I forget, he used some really nasty term that I've already forgotten what it was, but this is a guy who is really a mean person. I mean, he's almost the Taliban of the Republican Party. And he wants to be lieutenant governor to bring that sort of religious fundamentalism to Virginia. And again, I have no problem with people who are practicing almost any religion. I prefer the tolerant ones over the intolerant ones. But you have a right to practice even your own intolerance within your own church. You don't have a right to impose that church intolerance on everybody else. And that's what the governor wants to do.
You mentioned that comparison. That's something I've been thinking about too, Mark. I mean, at what point do the reasonable politicians, and I know this could get ugly, but it's already so ugly, at what point do the reasonable politicians, be it Terry McAuliffe or anybody, start saying, look, these people really are extremists. This is close to the Taliban in America. These people are just out to, one, destroy government, two, to take away your personal freedoms, you know, three, to economically deprive anybody except the rich. You know, when do we start to say that, do the candidates start to say, and I know it's dangerous to start, but sooner or later we've got to say, these people are really opposed to what America is.
Well, in my view, instead of calling them extremists, I think they are extremists, but rather than using a term which people can argue about, I say just tell them what they stand for. don't call Mark Obenshain, the guy running for Republican Attorney General of Virginia in 2 days. Don't call him extreme. Just say that he wants to require all women to report miscarriages within 48 hours to the police or suffer criminal penalties. That's a fact. No one can dispute that fact. If you happen to think that's extreme, well, I do, and I think most people do. But I don't think you have to call it extreme. I think you just simply have to say what the man stands for. Say that Ken Cuccinelli was angry at Virginia universities who did not want to discriminate, and he insisted that they cannot pass a non-discrimination policy.
And as I understand the race, what it's going to come down to is basically the female vote versus the male vote. And
Women are strongly supporting the Democratic ticket because the Republican ticket is so anti-women. They just are.
Being a Virginian in the past, and I've actually lived most of my life in Virginia, and whether I planned it that way or not, starting with William and Mary, but I've just lived there most of my life and have great feelings for Virginia. You know, what I'm really wondering is what is going on in the male population to make them so supportive of this extremist view? Do you have an insight to that, Mark? I mean, I've never been able to figure that out.
I think it's women versus men. I think it's also Northern Virginia versus the rest of Virginia. I mean, two-thirds of Virginia is still very much the Old South. Two-thirds of Virginia still is more similar to North Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky, perhaps, than Northern Virginia, which is more similar to Maryland and D.C. and that area.
And I understand in terms of that Cuccinelli's most recent campaign speech was done on Confederate Memorial grounds.
Yes. You know, what's interesting is he thinks he's lost, and so he wants to appeal to his, because at this point all he can hope for is turnout. He knows the vast majority of Virginians don't want him to be governor, but he's hopeful that if he can get his most racist, most Confederate, most anti-women, anti-gay, all the real haters out there, that if he can get them to hate loudly and they can turn out in record numbers, while, let's face it, a lot of Virginians are complacent. There are people who are listening to this broadcast right now who will live in Virginia who think, you know what, I don't need to vote this year. I think we'll be okay. No one's going to vote for Cuccinelli. And what happens is, if the Democratic base stays home, is, yes, he can pull it out. You know, polls are just polls. Until the actual election day, which I remind you is this Tuesday, polls open at 6 a.m., they close at 7 p.m. It's the day after tomorrow. Until that occurs, in any election's up for grabs. He's given up on the middle. He's given up completely on even the middle. He's appealing to the far right, trying to get them to turn out in massive numbers, while he hopes that the independent-minded Virginians who don't believe that women should have to declare their miscarriages, well, he's hoping that they stay home.
And when will responsible, if there are any responsible Republicans left, and I think there's probably two or three somewhere in the country, I'm not sure where, when are the responsible Republicans really going to come out and say these people do not represent what the Republican Party, at least in the past, has stood for and supposedly stands for now? When are they going to speak?
Well, actually, in Virginia, they kind of already have. There is a current sitting lieutenant governor by the name of Bill Bowling, who's certainly a Republican. He's a conservative, but he has said he can't vote for Ken Cuccinelli. So this is a guy, this is the sitting lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia, a mild-mannered, he's a conservative. I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but he considers Ken Cuccinelli too radical for Virginia, and he's the sitting lieutenant governor. The sitting governor of Virginia, of course, Terry McDonnell, is so enwrapped in all of his pay-to-play scandals, where he has basically been bribed, and I fully expect him to be indicted, by the way. I think the federal officials are waiting till after the election, so they can't claim, no one can claim they tried to influence the election, but I fully expect the sitting governor of Virginia to be in big legal trouble. And Ken Cuccinelli got money from the same guy that bribed the current Virginia governor. So, he's all in league with that. Again, I actually think Terry McAuliffe's going to win. I think Ralph Northam's going to win. I am very concerned about the attorney general race because I think some people don't follow it as much. Maybe that's why I'm mentioning it so much. The attorney general has tremendous power in Virginia.
It really does. It's the
second most important office after governor. It's actually more important than lieutenant governor. And the attorney general makes the law on a whole host of things where the courts or the legislature have left it ambiguous. I pointed out that Ken Cuccinelli, for example, while he was attorney general, wanted to bring back Virginia sodomy laws to make it a criminal offense for people to have oral sex in the state of Virginia. It sounds like something out of, I don't know, 100 years ago.
It sounded like something out of 1984.
Well, yeah. I mean, and he also wanted, of course, to require universities to discriminate against gay people. He wanted to ban birth control, including the morning after pill. He wanted severe restrictions on a woman's right to choose to have an abortion, much like the ones in Texas that are going into effect, which ended up shutting down some two-thirds of abortion clinics throughout the state. These are some radical ideas, and these are all things he could advocate as Attorney General. If Mark Obenshain becomes Attorney General, he is worse than Ken Cuccinelli.
And because we'll pick up right where Cuccinelli left and probably go right back to the same things that Cuccinelli tried
to
do.
And go beyond it, because he actually wants women to report their miscarriages. So again, Mark Herring, he's a very respectable man. These are, by the way, these are not radical Democrats. These are not, frankly, as progressive or as liberal, maybe, as you and I would like, Terry.
No,
but these are mainstream liberal Democrats. Mark Herring for Attorney General. We've got Ralph Northam for Lieutenant Governor. And of course, Terry McAuliffe for Governor of the state.
You know, I think this election has enormous import in a lot of ways. One solution that I was hoping was going to be on the ballot for Virginia, and I just checked the Virginia ballot, and it's not there, is that, you know, that anybody who belongs to the Tea Party can be deported to Texas. You know, and I was sure that should have been.
That would make our state a lot better, I think.
It really would.
I don't think that's on the ballot. One thing, though, that is on the ballot, in addition to the governor, Terry McAuliffe, I'm repeating the names in case, because some people don't know the other ballot names, Ralph Northam for lieutenant governor, and of course, Mark Herring for attorney general. In addition to those three, you've got the Virginia House is up. The Virginia Assembly is up for re-election, the entire Assembly. And the Assembly is so controlled by Republicans that they almost have a veto-proof majority, so that even if Terry McAuliffe wins the election, they can still overrule him. And this is the House. This is the Assembly that did the famous, again, it's all really anti-women this year. They're the ones who famously did the requirement that any woman who wants to have an abortion has to have, sorry for using these words, a transvaginal ultrasound, which meant that any woman that wanted to have an abortion had to have a device, again, pardon my language, but it's true, stuck into her vagina if she wanted to have an abortion.
Yep.
And it was unnecessary. It was medically unnecessary. The whole purpose of it was because Republicans wanted a woman to see pictures of the fetus, which again, you know, if she wants one, fine. But to force a woman to undergo a medical procedure and to pay for it against her will, it's amazing to me, because these are the same Republicans that say, we can't force somebody to buy health insurance. Well, buying health insurance is something that you want to help you medically, and yet they're going to require a woman against her will to have a device stuck into her in the most intimate place, against her will, and pay for it as well. This is some of the legislation that was passed by the current House of Delegates, and that's why you need to vote for Democrats in the House.
And you also got to realize, you know, I know you may disagree with me on some of the level of extremism. You know, that kind of legislation, trying to get, you know, the women to be, you know, investigated that way, that is not unlike Nazi Germany. Now, that may sound strange, but the point to realize about what Nazi Germany started doing to gay people, to retarded people, et cetera, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to use the word retarded anymore.
Mentally ill.
Mentally handicapped people.
Handicapped, yeah, physically handicapped, too.
Yeah, what the German government started to do to those people and did them to horrible extremes, including torture and everything else.
And murder.
Yeah, and murder. Just, you know, absolutely horrible. They did that with moral justification. And that's exactly what these politicians are doing, proposing to do. They justify their actions, be it anti-abortion, be it birth control, whatever it is, on what they consider to be moral justification. And that is a very, very dangerous trend. It's against our entire Constitution. It's against our whole American standard. But it is happening in this country. It is more and more, you know, women's rights are just being squashed by, you know, anti-abortion laws and complexity. And I forget what state just passed a law that immediately eliminated like two-thirds of the
Texas.
Texas, of course.
Of course.
Where else? You know, but they're doing this with moral justification, and we have to realize this incredibly intrusive, perversely intrusive technique that is really kind of rampant in America.
Yeah, women's bodies belong to themselves. And I want to encourage women or anyone who wants to dial in at 202-889-9797, 202-889-9797 to talk about the Virginia elections or later on to talk about Terry's topic about drones. But this to me is an election more about women's rights than any we've seen in quite a long time. That is the defining issue of the election. And as you say, it's not just for women voters, but for men who support the idea that women's bodies belong to themselves, which and you wouldn't think is a radical idea, but it needs defending in this election.
I mean, I can say honestly, you know, that I am generally, in most circumstances, you know, that I am opposed to abortion, you know, in a sense of not...
In a personal sense.
In a personal sense, yes, I am opposed to it. But that does not give me or anybody else the right to say that some woman doesn't have that right. I mean, you just can't go that far. You can be opposed to abortion. You can think that, well, adoption would be better, and there's all kinds of things that would be better, and you can work for those things that would be better than abortion, but you cannot impose your moral view on other people. And that's what these gentlemen, and how dare we call them gentlemen, these gentlemen are really pushing this idea that they have the right out of their moral justification to tell you what you have to do with your body. And trust me, I mean, whether it's sodomy or whether it's abortion, you know, it's the same mental, emotional, moral issue, and they will push and push on every way you can think.
You know, abortion is such an intensely personal issue for each and every woman to decide what to do, and I dare say extremely few do it lightly. Most of them weigh, and many of them weigh the fact that they can't financially take care of their children. One of the things that the current governor of Virginia is doing, but that Terry McAuliffe would undo, is he is preventing poor women from getting health care. He's actually refusing the tens of millions of dollars provided by the federal government to make sure that every woman or man, every poor Virginian, can get adequate health care through Medicaid, through Obamacare. And he has rejected that money. The money, which, by the way, doesn't cost Virginia taxpayers a cent. It's federal money. And if Virginia taxpayers don't take it, it goes to other states who are taking it. He's refused that money. Ken Cuccinelli has said very clearly he would refuse that money, whereas Terry McAuliffe would take that money. And I want you to think about what they're saying here. They're saying, we're going to force you against your will to carry a fetus to term, and then we're going to let the kid starve. We're going to let the kid not have health care. We're not going to provide for the kid. If anything, their economic practices make women more likely to have abortions because they can't take care of them. The irony is, if you are personally opposed to abortion, if you have a governor like Terry McAuliffe, who's going to make sure that poor women actually get health care and get, frankly, prenatal care, which is part of Obamacare, then they're more likely to not choose abortion. They'll have that choice, but they're more likely not to take that choice because they'll be able to actually care for their own children. This idea that we're going to really punish women with young children, we're going to punish them, we're going to deny them prenatal care, we're going to deny them infant care, we're going to deny them all of that, but we're still going to force them to have the child, is not only inhumane to the woman, it's inhumane to the child that would be brought into this.
And, of course, if that child is born, as you say, they'll be poor, often in a poor situation, and all of the social services that are involved in helping people who are, you know, handicapped in any way, economically or other, all those are being defunded so that there's no real chance for that child to have an opportunity to develop. There's no real chance for that woman, if economic issues are part of it, you know, for her to be able to solve her problems. They are attacking people they simply don't like or don't quite approve of.
Yeah, yes, that's why I call it the Taliban wing of the Republican Party, because about personal disapproval. We don't like poor women. We don't like single women.
Black.
We don't like gay people. We don't like, exactly.
You know, we don't like anybody with brown skin.
We don't like poor people, frankly.
Definitely don't like poor people. No.
And by the way, if
and
that's
they all
not
pretend to be Christians too.
Well, that's true. And of course, we have an actual reverend, an actual minister in the Lieutenant General E.W. Jackson, who is from the Taliban wing of Christianity. I mean, I don't think most Christians believe in the nonsense he believes in, but this is a radical extremist view. And let me say this, it's not only for civil rights that you should vote a Democratic ticket. It's also for little things, things like transportation. If you live in Northern Virginia, as I do, you know that the traffic has been increasing tremendously. You ever tried to drive from Washington, D.C. or Alexandria down to Richmond? Have you ever sat in traffic for 4 hours? I know I have. Terry McAuliffe wants to improve the transportation system of Virginia. He wants to use the money to expand the highways.
Expand the highways. Expand mass transportation.
Well, that too. That's in his bill too. Public transportation as well. He's also bridges. Cuccinelli basically just says no.
I still have on my phone, just because I keep it there for my own amusement, I get an alert from Fairfax County every time the 395 is blocked, you know, or any other road in Fairfax or Northern Virginia that is blocked because of a wreck or because of traffic backup or whatever.
It must beep all day long.
It does. It honestly does. I get every single day, I get these announcements. And I just keep it there to sort of, forgive me, Mark, but sort of to amuse myself.
Because you're out in Oregon where you don't have these traffic problems.
Well, no, we do have them, but not quite as bad as, Oregon's slipping, unfortunately, as well. But, it just astounds me that there's not half of a day that doesn't go by when I don't get an alert saying, 47 lanes are blocked here for the next 46 hours, and tough luck.
Yeah. I really want to encourage people to get out and vote. It is so easy to vote. The lines will not be as long as they are in a presidential year, but that's telling, because President Obama won Virginia when everybody came out and voted. But one of the reasons, probably the main reason, why Republicans continue to control the state of Virginia, continue to keep Virginia from joining the more progressive states.
People don't vote on these elections between the federal elections.
That's right. That's right. The elections on the odd years, there's only two states that have them, Virginia and New Jersey. Frankly, if it were up to me, I would move it. I would move them to even numbered years because...
Well, I think it's deliberate. I honestly think it's deliberate because obviously there are powers that be that know that this works to their advantage to keep them sort of out of the national focus and, able to slip in another Republican.
And let's face it, if Virginia keeps controlling the House of Delegates and the Senate and also the governorship, they're more likely to prevent you from voting. One of the things that they tried to do in Virginia, they ended up passing a more minor one only because the Democrats in the Senate held it up, in the Virginia Senate, was laws to keep you from voting. Laws to make it harder for minorities to vote, for elderly to vote,
for students to vote. Yep.
We've seen some of the states take it to extremes, states like North Carolina, states like Texas. Virginia could very well join that. So if you don't vote in 2 days, it may be your last chance for quite a long time.
It may be in more ways. I think there are three steps to the whole thing here, Mark. First, people have got to get out and vote. They've just got to get out and vote. They've got to vote.
It's so easy to do. The precinct is just around the corner. It's 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Just get out and vote. You have a right under the law, if you're employed, to tell your employer, I have to get out and vote today. They cannot keep you working all day. You can go on your lunch hour. You can go in the morning before you vote. And, be a lot of supporters out there giving you a sample ballots if you need them. But really, it's, you live in a democracy, folks. It's not just every 4 years. You've got to get out and vote. It's the day after tomorrow, this Tuesday. It's around the corner, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. The polls will be open. And if you are standing in line at 6:59 p.m., you have a right to vote. Don't let them close those polls on you. Don't push it to the last minute.
No, the first thing is get out and vote. And whatever happens in the vote, the second thing you have to do is pass a resolution to get most of these people deported to Texas. The third thing, if and the unfortunate thing, if people are so foolish and so uncaring that Cuccinelli and the others win the election, then I advise strongly that everybody in Virginia that has compassion, that has some sense, that has intelligence, that cares about our government, they should move to Maryland.
Oh my God! See, I don't want to. I think that Virginia is a wonderful state. We have it has its own sordid past, but it's also the state of Thomas Jefferson, of James Madison, of a lot of the forefathers.
Poor God would be rolling in his grave at this point. he really would.
Well, so let's not have to pick up and move to Maryland. We really need to bring Virginia back from the depths to which it has sunk. Frankly, just to end the corruption that we've had under this Republican governor. We don't want a governor that takes bribes, period. We don't want an attorney general that takes bribes. You got to vote for Mark Herring. and for Ralph Northam, and of course for Terry McAuliffe. Let's take a break, and then when we come back, Terry, you're going to tell us why you are against drones so much.
Worried.
If folks, if you want to call in, and also when we talk about that, I might want to bring up a little bit about our spying on everybody, including the German chancellor, which I think has gotten way out of hand. If you want to call in, 202-889-9797. This is Mark Levine, Terry DeKester. This is the Raucous Caucus. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. This is Mark Levine, and I am here with my co-host,
Terry DeKester. And I like that new music. I like that bump music.
Well, thank you. I'll try to do that more often. I've been doing a variety of different bumper music, so I'm glad you like it. It's very peppy. It's very, very happy music.
Yeah,
not
happy.
It may be the music that they're listening to as they control our drones. I don't know. Yeah. Hey, we got a call on the line. Let's see if it's Garland Nixon or maybe even someone else. Hang on.
Okay.
Who do I have on the line with us? Thank you for joining the Raucous Caucus.
Guess who, Mark?
It's Michael from New York City. How are you, sir?
All right, Michael, how are you?
Hello. Well, I got a confession to make.
Okay.
I just got out of church, and I had to call to find out what was going on, and possibly if I can state an issue that is going on here in New York City. I might brief you on it before, Mark.
Well, we're mostly talking about the Virginia elections and drone strikes, but as our most regular caller, I'm starting to call him Old Faithful, Terry. As Old Faithful, Michael, I suppose I can give you a couple minutes to tell us what's going on in New York. Is it the Barney's thing or something else?
It's not just the Barney's thing, but it's funny you mention about elections because we got a mayoral election coming up.
That's right, this Tuesday, too. Bill de Blasio's running against some unnamed Republican. Bill de Blasio's going to win the landslide, isn't he? Michael? Oh, we lost Michael.
Oh.
I assume he will call back in. Yeah, that race is not close, but it's very important that Bill de Blasio win. He's a solid progressive, and I think he's going to take New York City in a new direction. I suspect Michael will call back shortly. His cell phone probably just petered out. Until we get to him,
drones.
Yes, tell us, because are drone strikes any worse now than they have been for the last, I don't know, 20 years?
Well, it's insidious, and in some ways it's more insidious than most other military actions. I am generally opposed to war. I understand that there are necessary wars. I don't believe in justified wars, because that assumes that something didn't happen beforehand that you could have prevented. But at any rate, there's something very insidious in it. And I mean, to give you a perfect example of that, if I mentioned Amy Goodman's article, and it's also in Amnesty International. This young girl who's watched, literally saw her grandmother, you know, blown to pieces, you know.
Where, in Pakistan? I'm curious.
In Pakistan, on the border. Mm-hmm. And she made the comment that she now hates the blue sky. She prays for cloudy days. Because then they don't have to live in the constant fear of a drone.
Wow.
If it's a sunny, blue sky day, everybody is petrified. And there's something incredibly insidious in that, and I'm sure the same thing is felt when you're being bombed in London or any place else, or, you know, I mean, 9/11, if you remember, was an absolutely beautiful, gorgeous day.
It was.
That happened. But the kind of fear that we're putting, and the other question really is we're not open about it, and we're not giving any public information about it. We do it, and then we justify it afterwards.
And I think that's important.
In that.
If drone strikes are warranted, and we have to go into this a little bit more detail, Terry, because I do think sometimes they're warranted. You may think they're never warranted. I don't know.
No, but, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. So if they're warranted, and we have to get rid of this bad guy before he kills someone else, this some notorious terrorist thug murderer, we have got to take tremendous steps to avoid civilian casualties. I don't have any sympathy for the Al-Qaeda operative who's blown up. I have tremendous sympathy for this woman's grandmother.
I think we have to go further than that. I think we have to go further than that. And give it, I mean, you know, if Yes, you had to keep to some degree, you know, D-Day secret. Fine. Okay, you kept it to some degree secret. I mean, how secret can it really be when 6 million ships are moving across the channel?
It fooled the Germans, at least 60 years ago. They didn't know. They thought it was a feint operation, F-E-I-N-T.
Well, it fooled them only in the sense that they had internal debate on which way things were
going
to happen.
They thought we were going into Calais.
They knew the invasion was coming someplace or other. I mean,
right.
So it wasn't any secret in that regard.
Right.
And I don't know what it would hurt to literally publicize a bit more for the government, anybody like this current al-Qaeda leader that we just killed, to publicize that, you know, this is the guy, this is our enemy, here's what he's done.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you can find it if you look through the news, but really make a campaign about it.
Yeah.
And literally be saying, we know who you are, we know what you've done, we can prove it in international court if you care to challenge it.
Turn yourself in or we're going to get you.
Yeah.
That'd be great. That'd be great. And if they don't, then... And the other thing I think we need to do is publicize clearly and widely and pay compensation for any civilians we kill. Obviously should work hard, very hard, not to kill any civilians.
I think drones are better than what we did in Iraq, for instance, with 4,000...
Right, ground invasion, there are hundreds of thousands of Iraquis died in that.
In some ways, yes, it is... cleaner, but in some ways the way we're doing it and the way, frankly, the Obama administration is doing it is more insidious. You know, and also, the idea in America used to be, I know this is so far in the past that nobody remembers it, but, you know, the Congress had to declare war. You just didn't go have wars or just have perpetual wars. You really had to declare it. And there's some integrity in that. I mean, I hate to even use the word integrity in terms of war. But there is some in that of saying, okay, look, Taliban, you know, look, al-Qaeda, you started it, you called it a war, okay, we agree with you, it's a war, and we are going to track every single one of you down. Because in some ways that might give it a little bit more public justification in even the countries that we're hitting. Right now, all we're achieving, and this is really important, we destroy a leader in this insidious, secretive way, this terrorizing way, and that's really the only right word, this terrorizing word, and it immediately creates another leader. There's no question about that. We haven't gotten rid of al-Qaeda.
And the more we kill civilians, the more the local populace is going to support al-Qaeda. The more people are going to be angry enough to support the very people that we're trying to prevent.
We've talked, you know, repeatedly here about, you know, a harassment by police and profile and everything else, and, you know, Garland's making, you know, big arguments about it, and I actually agree with profiling more than you guys do, but the whole idea of you have to know that they've committed a crime before you can arrest them. That's supposedly the foundation of our country. Well, at the same time, you have to know they've committed crimes, and the public has to know, and the courts have to know that somebody has committed a crime before you go out and kill them.
You know, I wouldn't even mind having sort of secret death warrants, I guess, but approved by a court of law, where we go and we say, all right, here's the evidence against these 200 al-Qaeda operatives. Let's have a court approve the drone strikes based on the evidence. I'd have no problem with that. I think Michael from the Bronx is back with us. Are you back with us, Michael?
Yes, I'm surprised I lost you guys.
Well, I think it was your cell phone. It wasn't us. I did not cut you off, I promise.
No, we wouldn't do that.
I know you guys wouldn't. And then the other thought in my mind was that there was a right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah, no, I'm watching the doors, and I'm making sure they don't get in. You wanted to talk to...
But do be realized that Dick Cheney has still got his cable cutters, and he's out there in the sewers cutting cables on a regular basis. So
and the NSA is listening to every word we say, of course, and that's another issue that I want to talk about a little bit later. Michael, you wanted to briefly talk about the New York mayoral election this Tuesday?
Yes, I was in the process of doing that and tying it together with a federal appeals ruling that overturned Judge Shira Shineman's.
That's another important piece of news. For those that don't know, we talked about the fact when Judge Shineman ruled that the New York City police department was practicing racial profiling, and she, in a very careful and detailed opinion, I think it's some 200 pages long, described what they were doing and prohibited it, and even required basically monitors in a few select precincts in New York City to make sure it doesn't happen again. And the New York Court of Appeals, as you pointed out, Michael, they overruled her, or at least temporarily overruled her pending a further decision.
actually, what happened was they blocked that order, including independent monitor. But not only that, they removed her from the case.
Yeah, they did. They said that she'd spoken out about it, and therefore she couldn't even be on the case. But, Michael, I wonder if we don't have a solution here, and if we don't even need the courts to do it. When, and I think I can say when, not if, I don't want to jinx anything, but when Bill de Blasio wins the day after tomorrow, becomes the new mayor of New York, and I don't know when the mayoral term ends. The election is November. I don't know if it ends in January. New Year's Day. Okay, so come January 1st, as I understand it, the New York police chief, in this case Raymond Kennedy, serves at the approval of the mayor. Bill de Blasio can simply fire him, put in a new police chief that doesn't practice racial profiling. Am I right? Is it that simple?
Yes, that can happen. He can announce that. He has already announced, in fact, that he has no plans or no desire of keeping Ray Kelly as
good
police commissioner.
So actually, no matter what the courts decide, and I'm glad Judge Sahlin ruled the way she did, come January 1st and a new police chief being appointed, this could largely be resolved in a matter of months. Obviously, you have to change police attitudes way down, and you know the orders from the top take some time to filter to the rank and file. But it seems to me that 2014 could be a year in New York where racial profiling by the police goes way down. What do you think?
I actually had two assessments to that, because I blasted this federal appeals court. First off, they had a bias against Judge Sheinlin from the get-go, because she follows the law and the Constitution, and apparently they, I don't know if they got a problem with judges believing in equal rights, equal law. We do have some political activists. Just go ask, just look at Antonin Scalia, for example, as a Supreme Court justice. But nonetheless, I thought it was a pot calling the kettle black, accusing her of biasness, and how many biased judges do we have that are totally pro-police, but yet there's no effort in removing them from cases, and they always get to stay on.
But what's nice is that in this case, the people can actually overrule the courts. I mean, it's nice when it's very easy to happen, and it's happening around the corner. Is there any doubt in your mind? Because what I've seen in the polls is Bill de Blasio is way ahead. He will be the next mayor of New York.
A lot of people have woken up to what has been going on. And it's not just 12 years of Bloomberg. It's also 8 years of Rudy Giuliani.
That's true.
Bloomberg
20 years.
Continuation. So it's a total of a 20-year tyrannical, unconstitutional tyranny.
So it's a new dawn in New York this Tuesday in New York City and also in Virginia. As I pointed out earlier in the broadcast, vote for Terry McAuliffe, Mark Herring, and Ralph Northam, and we can change things in Virginia here too, and Virginia and New York. And also, even if you live outside those states, these elections in Virginia and New York, I think, will show the country that the Tea Party is not the wave of the future.
Can I propose one more thing before I go, Mark?
Sure, real quick, and then we got to get back to Terry's topic about drones. Go ahead.
Right, and good luck, by the way, Terry.
thank you.
Trying to prevent drones.
Thank you, Michael.
But just to confirm,
I'm trying.
From the Federal Court of Appeals, or what you said, Mark?
Yeah.
I think that is the other assessment, that it's a presumption, a legitimate presumption, that Bill de Blasio, with his stance of restoring police-community relationships and trust, that he would be the next mayor, and they were probably too chicken to touch the matter, and they figured, oh, I'll let him handle it.
I think they're probably right, Michael. I don't know that they were purposely trying to bias. I think they are probably saying, look, there's an election in New York City. It's around the corner. The people of New York City will make the decision about racial profiling, and that's largely the main issue, frankly, in this race, is the police. And when Bill de Blasio wins, as I expect him to, and I'll be shocked if he doesn't and very, very upset if he doesn't, which is why you need to get out to vote if you're listening to me in New York City. But assuming he wins, I do think it'll be a real new day for New York City.
And you know, to encourage you a bit, Michael, and hopefully any New Yorkers that are listening, I've recently read a study about police problems and police agencies across the country, and it pretty much concluded that wherever there is corruption or problems within a police department, it always does come really from the top. The chief makes an enormous difference on how a police force is run. So it's very important that the new governor, you know, replaces
new mayor.
Yeah, and it really matters. It really does matter.
Yeah, the other thing is that it would prevent some of the racial profiling that occurred. For example, Barney's, look, Barney's and Macy's, it's terrible what they did, but it would have done nothing if the police hadn't taken their complaints seriously. I mean, the police, it seems to me, the New York Police Department, when they get a call from Barney's or Macy's and say, this black person bought this expensive product, they would simply say, well, let's see the credit card. Let's see your ID. All right, you have ID, you have a credit card, and let them go. It wasn't just that Barney's and Macy's called the police, as awful as that is. It's that the police took their complaints seriously without checking to see whether they were valid or not. A new police chief in New York City, I think, would change the whole culture of that.
But Mark, a correction note
yeah.
is that Macy's has not made any comment, but Barney's has said that they had no connections with the police. They never contacted them.
That's what they said. But how were they?
And to all in all, somebody is lying here.
Yeah, and we need to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, they definitely need to get to the bottom of it. And Terry, you are totally correct that the problems that the police start from the top is a part
really
of new leadership.
They really
because
do.
It is for the sake of the police officers as well, because while some officers will wind up getting busted by the feds for just following orders, so to speak, and that's what it comes down to, following orders, they're the ones that face facing the penalties, and the people that instigated the problem or issued the orders are hardly held accountable.
Yeah,
they walk away. They walk away, as always.
Thanks for your call, Michael. I want to get back because this wasn't our planned topic, but it is important to point out, obviously, it isn't just the Virginia election. No, it isn't just the Virginia elections day after tomorrow. You're absolutely right. New York City elections, too, and they are certainly very, very important. Not just, by the way, for New York City, but it is the largest city in the United States, and I think that if racial profiling is prevented in New York City, it's more likely to be prevented in other of the nation's big cities. So it is very important. Thanks for your call, Michael. Appreciate it.
Many, many thanks.
Okay.
So, Terry, tell us again, in terms of drones, I'm just curious whether you think that drones are any more dangerous or nefarious than, say, bombing runs. I mean, aren't they basically the same thing, only one's remote controlled?
Well, there's even difference in that. I mean, and that's kind of what is the 1984 or worse, scenario that we have to be aware of. I mean, what we're doing is removing the cost of war. It makes it much more, it's more economical to use a drone. It produces fewer casualties to use a drone, which all sounds good from the powerful side, the winning side. It also, of course, is therefore going to create more hate. There's no question about that. So there are economic reasons to do it, and this is really a dangerous path. And the other side of that is there is really no international agreement on about drones, and for Americans to think for a moment that they are going to be the only power in the world with drones is absurd.
Yeah.
And in fact,
it's going to come to us already that they're already looking at delivering pizza via drones. Seriously, no, there's a company in the United States that's looking at delivering pizza via these drones. You knock on, you order it, you knock on your door, and there's this little floating robot with a pizza, which sounds wonderful, but it's got to be a little scary because if it can carry a pizza to your door, it can also carry a gun to your door. And
it's got to be a CIA cover. It's got to be.
No, it's true though. I mean,
I know. The fact is that people, I mean, you can go right now and you can buy drones in almost any hobby shop of all kinds of sizes and shapes. You can build them yourself. You know, they're pretty easy to build. The controls, I've seen one in action just recently at this incredibly beautiful Mohammed Falls here in Washington, in Oregon. And this guy was flying his drone over this 100-foot waterfall.
Yeah.
And the crowd was actually more focused on the drone than they were on this beautiful waterfall.
But the technology is simple. This isn't technology that requires, it's not like nuclear weapons or things that require very difficult technology.
Yeah.
Today with global positioning systems all around, we can all buy, a GPS in our cars and, it's not that difficult technically.
No, and every major military country in the world is developing their own drones.
Yeah.
China is, India is, smaller countries that are, less involved in our world war that we seem to be fighting at the moment, they are developing them. You can develop them privately. And, you put this in perspective, once we knew what was, this is sort of horrible to say, but once we knew what was going on in 9/11, and we didn't know quick enough, obviously, but we did learn pretty quickly, we were able to act in the best defensive way we possibly could. At this moment, you're not going to be able to stop somebody from living in Alexandria, Virginia, from building a drone, putting explosives in it, and flying it into the White House. You're simply not going to be able to stop it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I assume that they're working on it, but it's very...
I hope they're working on it, but, I mean, the point is twofold. One, you've got to realize the insidious nature of it and the insidious nature of war that we are creating and expanding, and it will go into terrorism. There's no question of that. The other thing is there is no international laws or regulations about it, and the key law, again, being one of them, that you can't do a double strike so that you kill the rescuers as well as supposedly the bad
guys. And that's really, really important. I mean, that's something, by the way, that terrorists routinely do.
Yeah,
and I hate to be compared to them.
It
I know
is against the international law.
It is. I know that, for example, when they had the terrorists in Israel, what they would do is they would regularly, the suicide bombers would bomb a bus or something or a marketplace or a mall. And then the, you know, Magen Adam, the equivalent of the Israeli Red Cross, would come, and ambulances would come, and people, and then they'd have a second bomb blow up, which kills the people who are the heroes, the people who are there to save lives. Then you're killing the doctors and the others, and it's so horrific. And that is something that I think, I don't know that we could ban drone strikes, but we could ban that. I think we could ban successive strikes kill. I don't know why we would ever try to kill rescue workers. And I, frankly, I would love to have a congressional investigation into us doing this, because this is really beyond the pale. Again, I understand why we go out and kill terrorists to prevent them from causing further damage. I get that. I understand
again,
that.
Even with that, the secrecy behind it.
Well, I think we need to make clear. Look, after it's done, say, we killed.
No, you need to make it clear before it's done. It's like you had to declare war on Germany.
All right.
You had to declare war on Japan.
Well, then we should have a list of 10,000 people who need to turn themselves in or face possible drone strikes.
All we're doing is we really are terrorizing people. I mean, war is terrible, period.
Yeah.
War terrorizes, period. But we are now psychologically terrorizing people. Nobody in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, et cetera, has any idea of when a drone won't appear over their house. You know, there's no way of knowing, because there's no, you know, clarity in the action, in the military action whatsoever.
Speaking of terrorizing people, I just want to, before the show ends, I want to talk about how we took really a great American ally in Angela Merkel, someone who is one of the most pro-American German chancellors in the post-war era, frankly. I mean, she's from East Germany. She had a from the time she was a kid, was more inclined to support the United States than, of course, the Soviet Union, which oppressed her home country. And we find out, she finds out that, lo and behold, the NSA has been spying on her. The National Security Agency has not only been spying on her personal cell phone, but apparently we now know, thanks to
Snowden.
To Snowden, Edward Snowden.
Yeah, I think we've got to stop calling this man a traitor.
No, I don't call him a traitor. He's a hero in my book. He's a full hero and whistleblower. We now know that every time you go to Google, someone in the government knows where you've gone. Right? I don't care whether you're looking up pornography. Sorry, it's legal. I don't care whether you're looking up your
guns illegally.
Whatever it is. I'm talking about things that are legal. I'm talking about things that are legal. You know, you do something that's legal that you might be a little embarrassed about. Maybe you've got an itch in a certain place and you're looking up for medical advice, but you don't care for the government to know about your itch. You know? I mean, these are things that should be private, and apparently every Google search is being kept in yottabytes, and I just found out there's like yottabytes and there's zettabytes, which Y and Z, it's like a million billion gigabytes or something like that being stored in these massive servers. And the question is, one, why they don't need it, and the other question is, I got a constitution, and it's got a Fourth Amendment, and it says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, papers, and effects, shall be upheld, shall not be violated, absent probable cause. You want to find out where I go on Google, then you get yourself a warrant, you prove to a court that you have probable cause to believe I've committed a crime, and then you can spy on my computer all I want. Otherwise, leave me the heck alone.
And people have got to understand the real role of government is to regulate, and is to regulate every step that we make forward technologically, economically, etc. That's what you have to do, whether that's a railroad locomotive or whether it's, you know, high tech. As some commentator put it, you could stop the United States from doing this, you could stop, you know, other countries from doing this, but you can't stop Google. And you literally can't.
And now the NSA has got a little eye on Google. So for all the people who weren't afraid of Google, you can now be afraid of Google.
Well, they were always using Google. I mean, don't delude yourself that they weren't.
Well, I know they were. They've been doing it ever since, at least legally, since the Patriot Act. And
it needs some kind of oversight. It just like every technology needs some kind of oversight, whether it's drones, whether it's, you know, spying on people in email. It needs some kind of oversight. It needs some kind of legal structure. It needs some kind of accountability. It needs some kind of, you know, a way of defending your own rights. And to ignore this, which we've basically done, we are ignoring any kind of legislation regarding the internet. We're ignoring any kind of legislation regarding drones. We're ignoring it, and we're ignoring it, frankly, for one reason, so that we can get away with doing it without anybody being able to stop.
Well, the government has run amok as well. President Obama said this week that he did not know that the National Security Agency was tapping Angela Merkel's firm.
I don't believe that for a moment. And it's not a question of tapping. I mean, basically what you can say is the NSA, as you said, is collecting information on everybody.
Everybody worldwide.
Yes, they really are. And then the process just is you select what you're interested in. You don't select it on what Terry and Mark say, or maybe you do. But, you know, you just want to know what Merkel's really doing, because Merkel, the German government, is actually involved in our drone and intelligence efforts. You got to check on her, so you check on her, too.
I know that the United States has spied not just on its enemies, but its allies for
going back to the Revolutionary War.
Probably. And I'm sure France is spying on us and Germany is spying on us,
sure.
And I'm sure we're all spying on each other.
Which is why you need some kind of oversight, because you're never going to stop it.
But
you've got to have some kind of oversight.
But you know what? The Constitution of the United States is at least supposed to protect American citizens. And the fact that the government is spying on me, spying on you, Terry. Now, Terry, of course, you know, given what he did in the 60s, we know why they're spying on you, Terry. But me, I the worst I have is some traffic tickets. So
as soon as Dick Cheney doesn't get another heart, you know, I should be free. But, you know, until he's gone, I'm trapped.
Look, you know what? The irony is it's that the Constitution still actually protects us. It's right there in the Fourth Amendment. It's not that hard. And I don't understand. And this is a question I wish Garland were on the air. But we'll have to talk to him next week. Of course, at noon. You got to listen to the Raucous Caucus. But I want to ask him why the ACLU hasn't brought a class action to require the National Security Agency to disgorge itself of any data it has on any American citizen that it doesn't have a warrant to obtain. I mean, to me, that's going to be the best class action ever.
You don't really even actually have that complete right, even though we pretend to do on your own credit score. I mean, you may think you have it, and you can get copies of your credit reports, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but there are other credit agencies that you don't get copies of your credit report from. So, you know, we really have lost control. I mean, this is part of the reason that you have to understand, too, that the Tea Party is succeeding. There is no question that everybody feels that they have lost some of their independence and some of their freedom.
Yeah. George Orwell was right. 1984 is around the corner. Big Brother is watching us, and we have to take back our government, prevent it from happening.
Yeah.
And I should say this. When the Patriot Act was passed, I was there. I was working in Congress. I actually worked on and helped write the original version of that act, not the version that became law, but the original version, the one that was thrown in the toilet, the one that protected American civil liberties. It's about time we dust that off, take it out of the trash bin or the toilet, wherever it was, and put in place a law that goes after terrorists but protects American civil liberties, because once they're gone, you can never get them back.
And we have to, as part of that, not just protect American citizens, I disagree with there, we have to begin to behave and agree to international law and understand it's in our Constitution also. If we sign a treaty, of course,
that's
we're the
true.
Last ones to sign any treaty.
That's true.
But once we do, and we should be required to pass those treaties and sign them, then we are obligated under international law. You have to have this, or you have a world that's going to move to chaos. There's no alternative.
I think you're right, Terry. Thank you so much for coming here. Folks, again, there's an election in Virginia the day after tomorrow. This Tuesday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Get out there and vote. Terry McAuliffe needs your help, and so does Mark Herring for Attorney General, and Ralph Northam for Lieutenant Governor.
Chester, because I still have property in Virginia, and by golly, these Virginians better shape up.
We can't let the radical right take over Virginia, and please vote for a Democratic House delegate, because the Republican House of Delegates, they're the ones that passed this incredible legislation requiring rape of women. I don't know how she put it. Requiring transvaginal ultrasound, requiring women to insert devices, have devices inserted in them they did not want to insert that serves no medical purpose. This is extreme. These people need to go. Vote Amen. Democrat. Vote in Virginia. Thank you, Terry, for coming on the Raucous Caucus. We will be back next week, as usual, Sunday at noon for another edition of the Raucous Caucus. Thank you, and coming up next is the Inside Scoop.
Thanks, Mark.